This is the Capture Your 365 podcast, the podcast about everyday photography for everyday photographers. This is episode number one, I Want It to Be Real, recorded on July 15th, 2013.
Hi, everybody. This is Katrina Kennedy with Capture Your 365. I am really excited to be here today with Kelly Buss. We are kicking off the first Capture Your 365 podcast and hoping this is one of many. Our topic today is everyday photography, and we're going to dive into that in just a moment. Want to go ahead and have Kelly introduce herself. Some of you may know her from Capture Your 365. So, Kelly, how are you today?
You know, I'm doing okay.
Good.
A little tired, but I'm here.
you sent a child off to camp this morning, I guess.
I did. My oldest, my right-hand guy, so life is good for him and a little bit harder for me this week.
You've lost your helper.
I did.
So Kelly, go ahead and tell everybody a bit about yourself and why you would need that helper.
Well, I have five boys. Jacob is my oldest. He's 13 and he, like I said, just went off to camp. Then I have four more little guys that are 9, 8, 4, 2. Got all those right. And we just have lots and lots of energy. We live out in the country on 40 acres. We've got a couple goats, a bunch of chickens, a couple ducks, some garden, just mad chaos, really, probably. So that's what we do. And I just try to take pictures of it when I remember. So.
Yeah, you definitely have a full life with lots of opportunity for photo taking, I think. So I'm Katrina Kennedy. Many of you know me from CaptureYour365.com, where we, Kelly is the creative manager there, and I am the founder there, where we look at and support and inspire everyday photography. And you can take classes there. In fact, today's episode is sponsored by the class Inspired. It's a year-long class we're offering at the site that is inspiration each month, and we focus on a particular topic, and with that topic we dive in deep, take only two photos the whole month that really speak to the topic. And we've had topics ranging from street photography, which is this month, and water and half lit and forced perspective. Say that again.
Two.
I forgot about two. Two was a really popular month. That was the diptych month. And with all of those, they are still available. If you sign up today, you get access to the rest of the year as well as the access to the first half of the year. We have a live webinar critique each month. And I think it's really fun. Kelly, have you enjoyed it?
I have enjoyed it. It's been really challenging to take pictures in a different way. A very planned picture, a very thought out picture. And I don't always do that. So it's been really good.
Yeah, it is a really different way than everyday photography that we typically talk about and what we're going to talk about today. So it kind of forces us into thinking a little bit different and a little bit different form of creativity. So let's go ahead and talk about everyday photography. It's the focus of our podcast today. And I asked on Facebook the question, you know, if you were to listen to a podcast on everyday photography, what were some of the topics you'd want to hear about? And one that just really resonated with me was about everyday photography. So you're going to hear those questions. You're going to hear us answer those today. And I appreciate all of you who took the time to answer that post. In fact, I think most of our discussion today is going to really be geared around one particular question that was asked by Jessica Cabrera. And Jessica is a longtime Capture Your 365 community member. Just love watching her photos. And she's got three boys, so not as many as you, Kelly, but definitely, you know, has that full life. Exactly. That same odd number child club.
Yeah.
All right. So, Kelly, when you think about everyday photography, how do you really define it? I know I have some really particular ideas of it, but what are your definitions?
Well, first I think about it, I just shoot whatever is of interest to me in that moment. I usually don't have much of an agenda to start with. It's just Oh, we're outside. What do I see that we're doing? What do I see the boys doing? What do I see animals doing? Oh, we're inside. What am I cooking? What am I reading? What am I eating? What am I cleaning or picking up or throwing away? It really, like I said, I have no agenda usually. Most of the time, it's just, oh, look at that mess, or oh, it's not a mess. I'm going to take a picture of that to prove that it's not a mess. And I start with that. What about you?
Yeah, for me it's really similar because for me it's really spontaneous. It's sometimes messy, like you said. And it's much more just about seeing my life and viewing my life and finding what appeals to me. It doesn't feel as forced as other types of photography. There's just something more natural about it. So it may be, that I make a beautiful dinner and I really want to document that dinner. And I think it's not about sharing it. It's not about having the perfect photo, although I share a lot of my photos on Instagram and Facebook and Flickr. It's about having the perfect memory of my moment, the perfect memory of what's going on for us, so I can look back. And there's just something about that every day. There's something about the reality of it, as opposed to, say, portraits, which, are beautiful and I love them, but in everyday photography, with my everyday photography, I see the dirt on my son's chin. I see the clutter in the background of a photo I take of him or of something else. And there's just something very real about that appeals to me.
Exactly. I completely agree. And that's where I spend most of my time in with my camera. It's just whatever I see at that exact moment that I want to remember, I want my children to remember, and I want it to be real. And the other thing I was thinking about that is what I think about everyday photography for me is I often want it to be as objective as I can make it. So if someone else came into my house, that they would see it realistically, the same way I see it, so that I'm kind of removing, I'm almost like I'm documenting it. And does that make a little sense, or
It
does that?
does. I think it's really close to photojournalism in that you want that really objective narrative of what's happening in your life. And I think through just seeing it as it is, and maybe working the angles, you may be working the best light so that you're getting the best photo you can get without all the extra manipulation. That's what really appeals to me too. And it's just that, like you said, that reality and that story that it holds. So where for you do you draw the line between everyday photography and other types of photography? Do you really see them as different?
I do because very seldom, except like for the Inspired class, do I have the time to go out and really plan a shot and to set up an entire shot. I see, wonderful ideas in Flickr or Pinterest or Facebook or wherever, and I think, oh, in 10 years, I could do that. I just don't have the time. And so part of that is everyday photography is what I can do. Like you said, I can work the angle, I can change little bits here and there. But if I can't take that picture in 5 minutes, chances are at this point in my life, it's not going to get taken. So I need to be able to just document and move on versus set up everything, move furniture, move, the kids around. I'm not going to mess with any of that. I'm just going to jump in there and start trying to take the picture that I see without creating a scene, which is to me a little bit more artistic, is the creation side.
Yeah, absolutely. So I have to ask, do you ever move anything? I mean, do you ever like look and go, okay, I'm gonna move that out of the shot, even though I'm gonna take it quickly? Yeah, I do
I
too.
do. If there's a book in the way or, a kid, we step back for a second. I'm trying to get this picture of your brother with the dog. I definitely will do things like that. But I guess I mean I'm not gonna move a whole couch just so I can set up a perfect shot of my kid on a blanket in the perfect light. I'll just go find another spot. I just
Right.
can't, for me, can't do that in my life right now, or else I won't move the couch back.
Or you're going to move the couch and you're going to find everything under the couch, and then suddenly you've created a new project for yourself.
Right. Yeah. No, it just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. So.
I know that all too well. I know that all too well. Yeah. Are there any areas of your life? I know for me, there are some definite ones. Are there any areas of your house or your life that you don't photograph because it may be too real?
No, I don't really think I do.
You're better than I am then.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was trying to think. I've taken pictures of like my messy desk. I think I've taken pictures like of what I call the Monica closet from Friends, where you open it and it's like the scariest closet you've ever seen because you've dumped things in there for 2 years. You know, I don't know if you have that closet.
That would be my garage. I'm actually not allowed to step into the garage. It's my, it's all Shay's. It's my husband's. I don't go there. I just don't go there.
Oh, so you're saying it's Shay who has the Monica closet. So.
Yes, yes.
I got it. So no, but I try really hard to, I don't want to create this picture that I have a perfect life or I have a perfect home or I have perfect children. So I really try to make sure that if I'm going to at least share pictures, that I share all of it, that I share kids that are screaming in meltdown mode, because it makes me laugh to see them like that. But also, I want people to see I have kids that get really dirty, that cry, that don't pick up their toys, and I, you know, want them to see the disaster, and that I don't do my dishes immediately after every single meal, and they might sit a few hours or two or more. I don't know. You know, I don't want to present that I've got this all together when I don't. And I think sometimes by taking pictures, I try to make sure that if my desk is messy, I don't spend time cleaning it or moving it, or if that's what the picture's of. Does that make sense?
Right, it does.
I want to be real. And like I said, that's an objective sense, I think, that I'm not trying to promote a certain picture of what my life looks like. The hardest part for that, for me then in every day, and I don't do this well at all, is do self-portraits, you know, catch pictures of myself, because I have a really hard time objectively looking at myself. So.
Me too. In fact, I was just taking a self-portrait, and I really have to maneuver my self-portraits. I you know, always take them from above and point my face just the right direction. And I took it and I showed it to my husband and I said, you know, this isn't even really me. and he laughed. He's like, well, that would be you. I'm like, yeah, but I'm so manipulated.
Yeah.
It's really not, it's not the me that people see when they meet me on the street. And he's like, it's still you. It's still, I'm like, yeah, if I meet everybody when I'm 3 feet tall looking up at them, but.
Right. Well, and I don't know about Shay, but my husband, JD, he is so great to help me see them realistically too. You know what I'm saying? Does this picture look like me, or does this picture look like the real, you know, schoolroom, or does it look like I've doctored it, or does it look like I've, you know, maneuvered myself too much? Or, and he's really great to sometimes point out, go, that one doesn't really look like you. You know, you have a funky look on your face. I never see you make that smile. That's not a real smile for you. You know, that's usually what he says, is that looks like a forced smile, or that doesn't really look like you coming out of it.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that's the beauty of everyday photography, when, whether it's taking a self-portrait or taking a photo of my son, or, you know, just anybody that we cross paths with, that you really do get some of the best smiles. I think you get the really natural smiles. I think you get the natural moments, and, you know, whether it's candid, or whether it's, you know, in the moment they look at you and you get something very portrait like, but is still an everyday portrait. I mean, still an everyday photo. There is just something beautiful in getting that real expression.
I agree.
So, let's talk about how you see the everyday stuff with fresh eyes. That was Jessica's big question. And I know that can get difficult when you look around your life and you're like, wow, I've photographed my son in his bedroom a million times, or I've photographed this, you know, memento of my life a million times. You know, for me this summer, it's that I've photographed vegetables a billion times. How can I do that differently? Exactly. I have not photographed tomatoes yet this year. We haven't even had the chance to talk about tomatoes yet this year. But I can see a full episode on tomatoes. I think it's required.
Oh, I'll be prepared. I'll be prepared.
Okay. But how do you look at things with fresh eyes? How do you look at the tomato, or how do you look at your kids? How do you look at really anything in your everyday life and see it in a different way?
Well, I think you hit on a few things a little bit earlier in the podcast when you said, change your angles, change your lighting. And those are some things I do. Even though I have five kids, like you said, it's still the same thing. They're still swinging every day, or they're still swimming every day. They're still running, riding their bikes. And so different things that I do is change where I'm taking my picture at. Instead of standing in a certain place in the yard, I'll move and sit down on the ground and try to get it from a completely different perspective. I'll change the lens and make myself work with, my Nifty 50 for a while, instead of having one where I can zoom in or zoom out, and it completely changes the way you have to frame your picture. I'll change the settings. So instead of going for a fast shutter speed, I might go for a slow and try to pan the boys doing something, or I might try to catch the light moving in a different way around them. What about you?
I think it's just, like you said, it's really about just looking, and sometimes just moving an inch to the left or an inch to the right, or up or down, just a small amount can really change it. And I find that I like to change the settings, the setting of what I'm taking. So yeah, I may want to be taking let's just say the carrot. I have a love-hate relationship with growing carrots. And they always come out funky. I know some people are thinking this is a photography podcast, but if you've known me long enough, you know that I have to talk about my garden. So with the carrot, I could take it. There's so many ways that I could take it. I could take it in the ground. I could take it pulling out of the ground.
Right.
And it's just really kind of experimenting and playing with it to see what I like. And with my son, I think it's so much about photographing him in the way that he's ready to be photographed as well. So that often changes up my creative angle as well. He's going through a very uncooperative phase right now where he just doesn't want to be bothered. So I'm getting a lot of more photos of him from behind, or with something in front of his face, or just kind of working that and working his personality at the moment. And I'm not worrying about whether or not I'm getting the perfect photo of his face today, because I have a lot of those, and I'm going to have a lot of opportunity for more of those. Just, I think the photo of the ice cream cone in front of his face, which is the classic one from the summer, that photo is going to be the one that really tells me the best story, the most objective look at who we are today in this very moment.
I completely agree. I completely agree. And, I have lots of different subjects with the five boys and the animals and the wide acreage. We don't leave the house a lot, actually. We're home most of the time. And so sometimes it really does become challenging to figure out what exactly. I don't want just the same picture of the kids coming down the slides, just the same picture. And I will sit down and, look at Pinterest if I have any free time, or I'll, Google something, like going down the slide, or I'll see something in the 365 gallery that somebody took of their kids doing something, and I'll think, oh, I want to try that, and that sets up my own shot and gives me a little creative boost without having to recreate the whole wheel myself.
Yeah, I love that about just getting inspiration from somebody around you just to try something different. Maybe shooting from above when you haven't before. Maybe trying to lie right down on the ground so that you get things at eye level, and moving away from taking the obvious shot. And I think with everyday photos, that becomes really easy to just stand there wherever I'm standing, put my camera to my face and shoot. But just maybe changing that up somehow so that I'm maybe photographing my child's feet that day rather than his face, or I'm cutting him in half just to see like what fun will that will bring. And that really then moves your everyday photography into a fun, almost whimsical kind of place that gets you more than what you would get if you were just taking quick snapshots every day.
Exactly. Another thing that I do, and I know you do stuff like this too, is I study a lot of my photographs from before. And the more I study them, the more I realize, oh, I take the same shot, or I set my same aperture, or I have the same angle. And then that gets me inspired to go out and go, okay, I must force myself to shoot at, let's say, an aperture or a 16 today. It's really sunny. I must think about all of the layers in the picture and not just focus in on their, you know, feet and let everything else go into the nice blur from a, you know, an f/2.5 or 1.2 or whatever. Can't think of numbers right now, but I notice that I often tend to stay with those wider apertures, and it becomes more challenging for me to shoot with a much, you know, smaller aperture and all those, with all those details in the picture that, you know, you just can't blur out. Then I have to think more.
Exactly. And I think everybody who ever buys a 50 millimeter 1.8 lens, you know, the nifty 50 lens, I think we fall into that I've got this really wide aperture now. I'm going to take every photo in my life with that wide aperture, and just, you know, changing those numbers up, just changing it so that you're shooting with a much more shallow depth of field, then you really get, or I mean, much more depth, not shallow. There you go. I am obviously not thinking straight either. So going to that F16, or going to my favorite aperture, which is F8, something Brian Peterson calls the who cares aperture, where you're kind of in that middle ground. So you maybe get some blur if there's a lot of distance, but maybe you don't. That's just a really fun way to change it up and to see what you can get. I'm also finding more and more I'm going to my phone and relying on my phone for photos of my everyday life. I still have a deep, deep love, passion for my DSLR, and I can't imagine not using that, but my phone makes some of those everyday moments so much easier to capture. Do you find yourself using yours more?
I do. I crossed over to an iPhone just this winter, and once I made that switch, it just really opened up that world for me. And I have taken drastically less pictures with my DSLR and a lot more with my iPhone. And it's amazing. It changes. It has taken me, I still don't have a feel for shooting with it, honestly. I just feel like I'm having to relearn photography all over again, because it's kind of a completely different style and feel to my shots. And,
right.
But I do. I love the ease of it. I love that, you know, I don't have to add it to my backpack with my diaper bag and my food and my water. You know, I just put it in my pocket and I'm good to go. And that has made it nice for me, really easy.
Yeah, that has for me too. There are moments though when I get someplace and I'm like, oh, there's, you know, it's a low light situation, or I want to do something more creative, where I'm frustrated that I don't have my DSLR, and I used to carry it absolutely everywhere. But I just upgraded to the 5, and absolutely the iPhone 5, and I'm absolutely loving the results that I'm getting. I'm loving playing with it and loving playing with some new apps. It's been a fun part of my everyday photography. So Kelly, I want to hear about your favorite everyday image you've taken in the last month.
Well, the one I took in the last month that I just love the most, it's definitely not a technically perfect picture, but it's a picture, you know, the website Dear Photograph, where people hold up old pictures in front of the same place.
I love that website. I every time I go there, I end up crying. Stories are so moving.
Yeah. Well, we recently had to move my grandparents into an assisted living, and they had been living in the same house for 57 years.
Wow.
And I had a picture of my grandmother that I actually had printed off from a slide, and she's about 28, 29, and she's standing in the window looking out of the house. And it's just a perfect picture. I mean, the exposure is not perfect, but it's just a stunning picture. And probably because she's my grandma, she's just beautiful in the picture. And so when I was at my grandparents' house helping go through their things, I stood outside and I lined everything up and took the picture with that picture of my grandma in the window. And I absolutely love it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite. Yeah, I mean, like you said, I'm almost going to cry right now, so I'll stop talking about it. But
No, I bet it's amazing. I would love to see it. That there's just something really powerful about that comparison and that contrast. I don't have, I've really been searching for something that I could do like that, and I really feel like I just don't have that yet. But I have an idea. The house I grew up in is no longer there, but I just have to dig out the photo of the house so that I can hold it up in front of the field that is now there. But I absolutely see how it does create emotion in us. You know, there's amazing nostalgia in the photo. There's so many memories in connecting that, and that's a big moment. That's a really big moment.
It is. And you know, that is surprisingly hard to take that picture. I didn't realize how hard it would be to get the perspective all in the right place, to hold my hand still enough, long enough to keep it from kind of bouncing up and down.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I think I probably took 30 pictures moving around the yard until I found one that kind of showed enough of the house, but not, you know, I had to change lenses. I took a ton of gear with me because I just wasn't sure, you know, what it was going to take to get a shot that I was happy with.
So what lens did you end up using to take it?
You know, I ended up using my cheap kit lens that came with my first Rebel because I needed to go wider so I could get enough of the house in the picture.
Okay. Okay.
So I'm, you know, pretty, I think I'm at, let's see, it's 18 millimeters back out. So I was, you know, at the end of that one, as wide as I could go.
Which, you know, proves again, kit lenses, they're not necessarily bad. You know, you use whatever you've got. And that's the beauty of everyday photography too. You just, you know, use what you have, find different angles, work the shot, try to see beauty and light where you may not have seen it before. I love that about it. Mm-hmm. You know, I think everyday photography is some of the coolest. You said it earlier, in that you took a photo that meant something to you but may not have meant anything to anyone else. And I think for me, that's what everyday photography is about. It has meaning to me. It has beauty to me because I have the story behind it. I know everything about it. That's the real power of everyday photography.
I completely agree. And that's why my children love it so much. Most of my kids right now are fairly cooperative with the camera. And my husband is incredibly supportive. And what they love to do is they love to come and see what pictures, whenever I download them, they want to see them all. They don't want me to cut any of them until they get a chance to go through them. And whether or not they're perfect, they could care less. They just enjoy, you know, catching the smirks and the memories. And, you know, it makes them in part of the process.
Yeah, that's the best part. You know, it's their life, so they should be part of that process. We often spend, lots of time in front of the computer monitor with me going through Lightroom so that Ian can see old photos. Especially, he really loves the photos from a couple of years ago when those memories, those years that he doesn't have memory of now, that are still pretty clear memories to me. But you know, at 7 years old, he doesn't really remember being four, and going through those, I love to see his eyes light up. And sometimes it's the silly things. I have a photo that I took, oh gosh, several years ago of toothbrushes. And it's literally like six toothbrushes. You know, every time he went to the dentist, he got a new one. And so here are these toothbrushes. It's just my hand holding toothbrushes. And he thinks that's one of the coolest photos because those are his toothbrushes. And toothbrushes. And they're gone. They're not part of his life anymore because it's a toothbrush.
Right.
But it really was telling to me how important those small details are because they're not there for him anymore. And I think in terms of inspiration, I can look at Facebook, I can look at Pinterest, I can look at Flickr Explore, but my best inspiration just really comes from thinking about what are the photos that I don't have? What are the photos of my life that I would love to be able to look back on? You know, I'm pretty sure that when I was seven, I probably had an off-brand or Colgate toothbrush, maybe. And it was, you know, it was probably white, I guess. Right. I don't know. And it's a silly thing to want a photo of, but there's just something cool about connecting to your past and connecting to who you are and being able to see that in a photo. Are there photos you wish you had from your own childhood? Maybe beyond a toothbrush.
You know, actually, my dad loved taking pictures. So there's a pretty good stash of photos from my childhood. So I don't really know that I've gone back and said, I wish I had a picture of a specific thing, mm-hmm. as much as there's just a lot of pictures. And my mom really did do a great job of putting them on albums for me. So it's neat that my kids can go and look at those for me, you know, and with me, and they can see them instead of, you know, my husband, we have a pile of pictures from him that we very rarely go through because they're just a big pile in a box and need some love and care from me, I guess, to organize them. But it makes a big difference, you know, so I can't really think of anything in that way. Because my mom really did do a lot of pictures of me.
That's really cool. That is, I'm much more like JD, in that I don't have, I have a couple boxes. I have photos that I took. I have a lot of photos that I took, in boxes as well that have never been put into an album or scrapbooked in any way that I probably should. Mm-hmm. But I go to those really young details, those really young, like, things, you know, details of the house that I lived in, of the farm that I grew up on. And, you know, like I'd love a picture of the barn and the picture of the barn that I remember, just to be able to compare it. And somewhere in those boxes, there may be that. And it's probably in the background. You know, it's that contextual background of everyday photography, I think, where our memories really occur.
Yeah, no, my parents really did take a lot of pictures of those kind of things and, you know, the houses we lived in and the different rooms. And I think part of it was they are very creative people. They're very do-it-yourself, you know, so they refinished everything that we moved into. So I think they wanted to document that along the way. And they're gardeners and they're, you know, landscapers. And so everything has always been take a picture before, take a picture after. And we have all those pictures, and it really is amazing to be able to go back and show them since they are organized. And I thank my mom for that. I mean, she did that, and it really is nice to be able to go, oh, I want to show you what my room looked like. Come look. Or, oh, I want to show you the dog we had when I was five. And here he is. And there versus, oh, I had a big white fluffy dog. You've never seen him. So.
Well, I love that our photo taking, our everyday love for photography comes from two really different places. Do you think that your parents' love for photography and get it capturing their everyday influenced yours and keeping that for your boys?
I think so. I would definitely say my dad was more the photographer. My mom was more the documenter. Mm-hmm. So, my mom definitely got me into more scrapbooking and memory keeping side of it. And my dad, he let me, you know, borrow his camera when I was old enough to in high school, and then let me borrow his first DSLR before I got mine and showed me some things. And that really is what gave me an interest to even start anything in photography and scrapbooking. So I would definitely say it came from them.
Nice. Yeah. Mine is this crazy, compelling need to not forget. It's almost obsessive that I just really worry about forgetting. And so I photograph everything and I want everything photographed. And I think I go often to my grandmother, and for those of you who receive the daily email, you've probably read the blog post about my grandmother and how much I wish I had photographs of the things of her life. She was a really special person to me. And I think there's so much of her life that I don't know about. There's so much of her life that she never shared, that having that in photographs would just mean so much. And that really pushes my photography a lot. You know, she, She grew up during the Great Depression. She grew up at a time that you just wouldn't have the luxury of taking photos in that way, taking the time out of, or, you know, having the time, having the money to be able to document things. So she is definitely, definitely my big inspiration.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, now that I'm thinking about it, my grandpa that we just moved into the assisted living, he took a lot of pictures and
wow.
I went through piles of pictures and, you know, we have the years that they were all slides. Mm-hmm. And we have the years that they were Polaroids, and we have the years that they were, you know, before that when they were just the little white, like little squares almost,
yeah.
You know, brown, kind of black and white squares. And so I wonder if my dad got a little bit of that, you know, from my grandpa. I don't know. But
I love that. My grandmother did leave photos, but they're amazing. They are all the photos that they went to a photographer, they sat very still, they sat with very solemn faces, because at that time, in order to actually expose the film, you couldn't make an expression.
Right.
Otherwise it would, you know, blur the photo, and, you know, all the kids look like they're going to be beaten if they move because
right.
they're paying so much money to have this photo taken. So just, you know, probably a different generation than your grandfather even. But there's something really cool in that. And I love that your grandfather has photos. What did you end up doing with them, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, we're still discussing that. I honestly, and someone's gonna, you know, send us some hate mail or something, but I'm really not super sentimental, even though I love everyday photography. So I kind of went down to, if it didn't mean something to me, I was just going to throw it out. And that's going to make somebody cringe. But this is, you know,
it hurts my heart.
I know it does. But, you know, we went through, we looked at them. And of course, if there was no one we knew in the picture, I mean, because there were so many pictures of Boy Scouts. And my grandparents and my dad, they grew up doing Boy Scouts, camping, gardening, you know. So I don't really need 300 pictures of the catfish that have been caught over 50 years. I mean, like I said, that might sound harsh to someone, but, you know, I have the ones that meant something to me, either because my dad is holding it at a certain age and it strikes me, or, you know, we kept the ones that meant something to us. But I don't know. See, I sound terrible, but we didn't keep them all. We really didn't.
No, I can understand that.
Yeah.
I guess. I mean, once your story is no longer so closely connected to a photo, it does lose its value. It absolutely reminds me, though, of a video that I just saw earlier this week, and I believe I didn't think I was going to talk about this, so I didn't write it down. I believe his name is the Photo Man, and I'll link it in the notes for the podcast. And this man in Los Angeles collects photos from estate sales, just wherever he can get them.
And I saw that.
Did you see that? And he catalogs them,
and then he sells them. Yeah.
And people, he you know, he has these huge buckets that people are going through, and he said, you know, sometimes people come to the market to look at them, and then they leave like sad, or they, you know, they leave with something they've found that totally inspires them, and they, you know, they buy it for 50 cents and they create art with it. And I just loved that. I loved the connection that he had to each of the photos, and I really felt like he valued the story in the photo, even if he didn't know it.
Right.
That there was something there.
Yeah.
So I think you need to send your photos to him.
Okay. Well, I think part of it is I'm really pragmatic. You know, I'm really practical and I'm a realist, and things just grow. I mean, stuff grows, and I just can't keep everything.
Yeah, you and I are really different that way.
Yeah, and so
I'm borderline hoarder. I'm borderline hoarder. Not with, like, you know, dog hair and
weird
stuff like that to get me on the show. But I have the biggest trouble, and you probably don't have this because you have 5 kids. You've had to address it. I have almost every piece of artwork that Ian has ever made. And I know I need to let it go. I know I need to do something fabulous, like my friend Liz of Paisley Press. She's photographed each of her daughter's artwork and put them into this beautiful album. And then you know, it's really compact and manageable. I just can't bear to let go of that original piece.
Well, you know, everyone's different for that reason. And I've had to make decisions like that. And yeah, I let people pick what's like you said. Sorry, let me start that all again. Like what you just said a few minutes ago, though, when you have a connection with something, it is important. And the further distance you get away from that connection, some things are important, some things aren't. And I guess I can't keep everything for us, just hoping that somebody someday is going to have a connection, or else that's why we have to have a storage facility. Not me personally, but you know, that's why people have to have storage facilities. And I just can't let myself do that, but other people can, and that's all right. And you know, my mom and I go round and round sometimes when she wants me to keep things, and I go, I don't really want it. If you want to keep it, that's fine. And so,
yeah, mine is mostly memory based items. I, you know, I'm not a big shopper. I'm not, I don't keep other things. It's just anything that kind of has a memory connection, to my son or to my childhood, those become more difficult. Like I have this pink chair in my living room. I've photographed it a couple of times, and it was my grandmother's chair. It doesn't match anything in my house. It is always a burden. We move it everywhere in the house, but I cannot imagine ever getting rid of it. It means nothing to anybody but me.
Then that's how it should be, though.
Right,
you know,
right.
The problem becomes is if you have an entire house full of those things, and then you don't know what to do. Or you have to buy a bigger house. You
exactly.
Know,
or
make a decision. So.
I guess we can move that to photography. Yeah. You know, if I'm having to buy another 5 billion
External
terabyte.
Hard drive, yeah.
Exactly. Because I won't delete the blurry photo of my son's toes or whatever. Then it does become a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, at heart, I am a minimalist. I want to be a minimalist. I just have to overcome that burden of memory and letting some of those things go. And, you know, I guess through photography and writing things down about those moments, then I've got it captured and would be, you know, a little less likely to show up on an episode of Hoarders.
Digitally hoard just as well as we can, stack things in your house.
Absolutely. It's so much easier to digitally hoard too. You can hide it away. Nobody sees.
Yeah.
I think we'll definitely cover process and storage in a future episode. Well, Kelly, this has been fun.
Yeah, it has.
We wondered where we would go. You know, we had an idea of where we wanted to go, and we took a few sidetracks. I think that's okay.
Yeah.
And I hope people are able to find value out of what we covered today. And definitely leave us feedback on Facebook and on the podcast notes to let us know what you'd like to hear in future episodes, suggestions, anything that you'd like to share with us to help us bring to you something, excuse me, something that really gets what you're looking for. So, Kelly, I want to kind of wrap up with a special little segment on what's in your bag. What's the item that you're going to most? Maybe lens. What is it? So, what's in your bag this week?
I picked Lightroom.
Ah.
I cannot imagine anything in my workflow without Lightroom. I am a complete Lightroom junkie. I know it in and out. I have every picture, well, not technically every picture, but almost every picture cataloged and organized so I can find anything fairly quickly. I have it all backed up. I do all my editing in there. I live in Lightroom. And I, like I said, I cannot imagine doing anything with my everyday photography at all without using it.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. That is the core of my memory keeping is right in Lightroom. So I have to ask, do you catalog by year or do you have a larger catalog with multiple years?
I have one big catalog right now.
Okay.
So just one big with all of everything in, but That's another show topic. I'm not a huge keeper of every picture, so I think I only have 15,000 images in it right now. So it's not nearly as big as I know it could be.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
Size doesn't matter, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's the
It got
quality.
what I like. Yeah,
Exactly.
exactly.
It's the quality of your everyday photos. Are you on Lightroom 4 or Lightroom 5?
I upgraded Lightroom 5.
Nice, nice. And I think we will have a future episode. I need to write all of these down. A future episode just talking about Lightroom, because I think for many people in the community at Capture Your 365, Lightroom is their go-to tool for managing daily photos and just keeping track of those. I am still on Lightroom 4. I am updating as soon as I get more than an hour to myself so that I can make that update and move everything over. I am a multiple catalog user though, so mine gets a little bit trickier in updating all of the catalogs. So my what's in my bag this week is actually an iPhone app, and I tried to find this for Android as well, because I know I've heard people cringe when we share Lightroom or we're not Lightroom, let me spit that one out again, where we share
iPhone
iPhone only and there's nothing there for Android. But unfortunately, there isn't something compatible for Android either. But I promise in future shows I will find Android compatible things too. But the app that I am absolutely loving lately, it's a new one to me, although it's not a new app, is Afterlight. And it is just a beautiful editing app. It lets you crop your photos, it lets you edit them, add filters, and the editing really gets you, for me, it feels like the closest that I could get to actually pulling a photo into Lightroom, and having a lot of control over the clarity, over the sharpness, over exposure, white balance, really lets you have extensive control. And I meant to see how much that app is in the store, and I did not. So, it's it if I bought it, it's under $5.
Exactly. I'm the same way. I'm the same way.
Exactly. And even
$5.
buying one is I'm really hesitant about. I don't always want to spend money on apps. So that's a favorite one for me right now, and it lets you save it to your camera roll or post it to Facebook or Instagram or a variety of other sharing sites as well. So thank you, Kelly, for this fun time. Do you want to share with everybody where they can find you out there on the internet?
Pretty much at Capture Your 365. That's my home, and that's where I'm at. I don't really have any other places to be. So
Excellent, excellent. Are you on Instagram?
I am on Instagram. I'm sorry. Yeah. And it's
That's
just
okay.
Kelly Buss on Instagram.
Kelly
So,
Buss on Instagram. You
yeah.
can see her boys and
Yeah.
her life with five boys, her everyday stuff. And I, like Kelly, can be found at captureyour365.com. You can find it. You can like our Facebook page, and on Instagram, I am Katrina Kennedy, and I'm loving Instagram lately. I'm spending a lot of time there. It's kind of been a bit inspirational for me for the last couple of weeks, which is always nice to find that.
I agree. I'm doing the same thing. So,
Nice. I think it's something about summer and
yeah,
just
I'm
has.
not sitting at the computer because I can
Yes,
do it
yes.
without having to get up to my desk. So,
Exactly. I like to save all of my editing for winter when, going outside isn't quite as appealing.
yeah.
Although I live in California, so I need to be careful there.
I was going to say, I wasn't going to bring that one up, but oh well.
All right. Well, thank you everybody for listening to our inaugural podcast on everyday photography. We'll be here each month with a podcast with a topic related to everyday photography. And once again, go ahead and leave us some feedback and tell us what you like about the show and what you'd like to see in the future. We appreciate you being part of Capture Your 365. Thanks so much.